Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we celebrate executive chef David Mapplethorpe, who has been at the helm of the kitchen at the Rex Bar and Grill for 20 years. At 70 years young, he's entering retirement because of the sudden closing of this iconic restaurant on Montana Avenue. Then in the second half of the show, we hear from Chef Carl Kurokawa of Giuliano's, Mapplethorpe's good friend and culinary colleague. First, let's get to know Chef David Mapplethorpe. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, we want to just get to know Executive Chef Mapplethorpe. So I want you to tell the listeners about your background. How did it all begin?
Well, it's quite a long story, actually. I graduated with a political science major, and one of my goals was to teach students. And I taught at San Jose State for a year and a half.
That's not very long.
I absolutely hated it.
Oh, God.
You know, it's when you have students that are younger than you, who number one doesn't want to be in the class in the first place, then it becomes not fun anymore.
Right.
So I left that and went into business with my brother-in-law as a cabinet maker, which I had prior experience in that. And we did that for 4 or 5 years until I got a divorce and moved to New York.
Oh, I didn't know you had gone to New York.
And while there, I didn't like it because just the rush and the hustle and the bustle just wasn't my thing.
How long were you there?
2 years.
All right.
And then moved back to California, where I worked in various restaurants there where I grew up in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided to make the big step and push my career forward. So I moved to Colorado. I was a suit at the time, which I didn't want to be in the first place. I wanted to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So my mentor was Serge Delage.
Oh.
He's a Frenchman. And I worked at the Western Hotel in Denver. And subsequently, he moved on, and I took his position.
Well, you took various positions at the hotel, didn't you?
I did, yes. I was in charge of beverage. I was in charge of catering. Kind of a little bit of all-purpose guy. And then I got it. I moved on and moved to Chicago. Then, you know, just back and forth. Then I moved to Wyoming. Why, I don't know.
The West was calling you.
Yes. And subsequently, I went to a continuing education class in Napa Valley.
Oh.
And someone there knew Gene and the Rex.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew they were looking for somebody, so he suggested that I give him a call. So kind of the rest is kind of history. I started in 1994, worked there till 2000, and moved to Colorado again. Then I moved to Texas, and then
you
Michigan.
You don't stay
Tech.
In one place. You didn't stay in one place for very long.
No. Then Gene called me while I was in Michigan and asked me if I'd be willing to come back. And I was a little hesitant at first because I left at a bad time. I left just before the Christmas parties, which wasn't good. So I was a little hesitant and figured, well, you know. But I came back, and the rest is kind of history. You know, we've had good times, bad times, like everybody in the food business.
It's a challenging business to be in.
It's very challenging, especially number one, to get qualified help.
Yes.
Because one man can't do it by himself.
Oh, come on, David.
Trust me. So I came back, and we put on the patio in 1998.
Yeah, Gene managed to close down a street.
Yes, and how that happened is a long story. I don't know a whole lot about it. But I know it was at city council meetings every time they met. So we put that on, and the rest, as you say, is history. It's just it was a big task for one person.
Yes.
And luckily I had enough staff prior that was there to help pull it off, which we did.
Yes.
And we wanted a soft opening, but it didn't work that way. I mean, it was full from the time we opened it until the time we closed it.
Well, the Rex has always been one of the iconic steakhouses here in town. And, you know, having started in 1909 with, you know, Buffalo Bill Cody and Alfred Heimer, you know, it's been in a spot that people go to for a very long time.
Well, it has been. I remember when I first started on the side of the street next to table one, I mean, you could see all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, it wasn't very pleasant, to say the least. I mean, we walked the ladies out, if they were by themselves, to their car, because we didn't want them out by themselves.
Yes.
That went on for quite a while. Then they started restoration on the depot.
You guys were pioneers.
Yes, we were. And which is good.
It's, yes.
I mean, I know a lot of people in the town. A lot of people know me that I don't know.
Yes. Well, you're famous.
No, I'm not famous. I'm just David.
No, you are the chef that's created many memorable meals at the Rex.
Well, you know, we have. It's been fun. I mean, the retirement's a little premature. I was going to wait until May 20th.
Yes.
Which is the final event of the wine festival.
Well, then that is 6 months after you turn 70.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's why we're celebrating you today.
It's been a labor of love, to be honest with you. It's been difficult at times, and at times, you know, you smile, you laugh, and times like, why am I in this? What am I doing? But in the end result, it was all worth it, I think.
Well, tell me some of the highlights. Where were some of the grand moments at the restaurant?
Well, I think when the wine festival is a large part of what I am.
The Montana State University Wine and Food Festival.
And our Monday night dinner became one of the most popular events.
It was a guest chef dinner.
Yes,
you invite other chefs from other
from all
cities.
Over the country.
Right.
And I think probably Bernard.
Gius.
Yes, he's quite a character.
From the Marine Room in San Diego.
Yes, and he's a true Frenchman. But I think when I worked with him, because he knew I worked for a Frenchman before, we got along very well, and it was just a great event to have him there. He'll be with us again on this year's event because it's their 25th anniversary.
Right, and what other chefs are coming in?
I've got two coming in from Seattle, Bernard, and then we have a local boy, Nick Steen, from the Northern.
Yes.
And this will actually be my first guest chef dinner.
Wow. Yeah,
because I will be a guest chef.
Well, because of the closing of the Rex, you are going to the Northern to cook instead.
Correct. Yes. So it'll be interesting. Look for a very good time.
Well, good.
And it's just, you know, getting to know people in the community and helping out with various functions in the community that Carl and I have done.
Well, you guys have been longtime founders of the Cooks and Chefs of Montana here in Billings.
Yes, Carl was one of the original founders. Unfortunately, I'm the oldest member.
I think that should be a badge of proudness there. It's an honor.
No, it really is. But we're trying to turn it over to the young men of the business. And women, very true, which we have a couple of them in the association.
Yes.
It's just been something that Carl and I, since I've been in Billings, I was first told that I would never, ever get along with Carl Caracalla.
He's quite the personality.
He is. He's quite a character. So I went over to his restaurant, which he had just recently opened.
Giuliano's.
Yes, Giuliano's. And I went over to introduce myself, and the rest is history. I mean, we've been best friends from that point forward. And we do a lot of stuff for the community. We every year we have probably five or six different auctions.
You do.
For Carl and I for the dinners from various assorted events.
Yeah, and community nonprofits.
Exactly, and we're very involved in it. We thought about stopping it, but then...
You can't because it's in your blood.
It is. It definitely is. Then Carl and I looked at it, and we had so many requests. We said, well, we got to keep doing it. So I'm assuming we'll keep doing it until one of us is no longer around.
So you brought up young chefs and the community. Do you have advice for an aspiring chef?
Work hard, stay busy, do your job, and above all, have a good work ethic.
And what is that?
Well, you've got to be... We've tried to hire 3 or 4 different people to take my place at the restaurant. No one has come to that point yet. We had the only person that I can think of that would even come close would be Tyler Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with him for 7 or 8 years. I can't recall exactly now. But he's the only one that could stand up to doing the task. And it was a joy working with him.
And it's long hours, and you're on your feet, and you never know what's going to be coming up.
You don't know. I mean, there's guests may have a complaint. Well, you're the one that's responsible for the food, so guess what? You get to go find out what the problem was.
Right. You shoulder the responsibility.
Exactly. You have to. And some people don't like to do that. Some people are afraid to face people.
Yeah.
And in this business, you have to be able to face people. You have to be able to talk to people. You have to be outgoing. And above all, you need to know what you're talking about when you talk to them.
Oh, absolutely.
So
who are some of the clients that have been like these fabulous guests that you always remember?
Well, you know, no one really sticks out in my head, to be honest with you. I mean, there's been a lot of celebrities in the restaurant.
There has been, such as who?
Clint Eastwood was there. And the guy from Die Hard, I can't recall his name, but he was there. Just a lot of people, which you don't, number one, you don't react to them. They're nothing more than a client for that night.
Mm-hmm.
And they
You're always doing your best.
Exactly. And they get the same service as anybody else does.
Right.
You know, always tell the service staff not to bother them,
mm-hmm.
which they don't. And it's just when they leave, they know who's, you know, they know who they are,
mm-hmm.
but half the people don't know who they are.
Right.
And as long as they get a good meal, that's all that matters.
That's going to stay with them as a
yes,
memory
exactly.
also. So working at the Rex, the building was opened in 1909, which was a long time ago. And I know you guys have done some retrofitting. And you've toured me down into, I would say, the bowels of the Rex. Can you tell me how it was working in the Rex? Because you had, I'm going to say, small rooms underneath the restaurant, and you were climbing skinny stairwells.
Yep.
And you had, I mean, things were all over the place. So how did you manage?
Well, they were. I mean, we have all the prep areas downstairs. All the groceries are downstairs.
In the basement area?
In the basement, yes. Because we were a restaurant that we were from scratch. We bought nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's groceries had to go downstairs when they came in. And then when you needed them, they had to come up. So it was sometimes very exhausting.
Yeah, because that stairwell was probably just slightly wider than your shoulder.
I think it was like 34 inches.
All right.
Something like that. And the stairs were steep.
Yes.
And during inclement weather, it was touch and go sometimes. So you just had to be careful. But the front steps, I mean, it's basically, if you come into the Rex and you walk down the steps and walk down the hallway, then walk down the alley, which we called it,
mm-hmm.
then you'd come into a large, expansive area. That's where we did all of our bread and prepped all of our dressings and whatnot.
I see.
We had three people in the summer prepping and 2 people during the fall. And it was difficult sometimes you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And then you've got to keep an eye on them to make sure they do what they're supposed to do. So absolutely going up and down daily for many, many, many
You have
many
to be
hours.
Healthy to work at your restaurant.
Yes, you do.
So what's next for Executive Chef David Mapplethorpe?
You know, I don't really know. I was thinking about moving back to California with my daughter. I'm not sure about that. She's got her own life.
Right. And you have friends here.
And I have all my friends are here.
Mm-hmm.
And at 70 years old, it's very difficult to make new friends.
Well, 70 is not that
old. Well, it's not that old, but
yes.
To me it is.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, it takes a little bit because most people have established their friendships and
exactly.
way of life.
And this is where Billings is where all my friends are.
Yes.
And I call them true friends. They're just not people that are blow in the dark.
Mm-hmm. They'll stand by you through thick and thin.
Exactly. And they've all helped me in one way or another.
And you've helped them. And
yes, I have, which is what friends are supposed to do.
Right.
Really don't see myself going anywhere except staying here in town.
Well, you're quite the reader, aren't you?
I am. I love to read.
What do you read?
Primarily political.
All right.
Stuff. Don't read any stuff that's non-truthful.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell sometimes.
Yes, it is. But it's something that I do. I mean, obviously, I didn't have a whole lot of time while working.
Yes.
You know, you go to work at 8 or 7:30. You don't get home until 8:30, quarter to 9.
Those are long days.
And 6 days a week, sometimes 7. So, you know, when you have a little bit of time off, sometimes all you want to do is just really do nothing.
Well, Executive Chef David Mapplethorpe, I thank you for being here, and I thank you for all that you've done for the community, and I do want you to take some time off to refresh and renew.
Stella, it's been a pleasure. We've known each other for some time.
Yeah, we've had.
And it's been a pleasure serving the community of Billings for all these years in the many ways that I have. Primarily, you know, the Rex was my home. And, you know, all my friends, unfortunately, are in the industry. So, you know, they're working the same time I am. So it's difficult. But it's been a very enjoyable tenure.
Well, we'll be anxious to see what's next for you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Stella. Thank you.
Now we are joined by Carl Kurokawa of Giuliano's, located in downtown Hospital Corridor in Billings, Montana. For over 30 years, Chef Kurokawa has cooked in the stable building next to the castle. Thanks, Carl, for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure to be here.
Well,
thank you for inviting me. I mean, really.
No, it's always great to be around you, Carl. You just make me laugh.
Well, so, I am a laugher.
Yes, you are. So today, you are here to celebrate David Mapplethorpe's departure from the Rex Bar and Grill. We're just honoring him because he's provided such great community nourishment for us for, you know, so many years. And you two have been partners in crime for so long. And I wanted to talk to you about your friendship and your working together. So give me some highlights of your moments with David.
Well, you know, this goes way back where when he first got to town, everybody in town told him, "You'll never get along with that guy."
And why is that?
Me, and it's because we were, in the kitchen over there. I had a reputation of just being the forceful individual, and so was he.
Oh, so two bulls.
Like, yeah, two bulls. You know, and like so, we've had our differences. You know, and like. There was an incident where I had to try to apologize to the Chefs Association. I says, "You know what happens when two elephants fight?" I says, "The grass suffers." And I says, "I'm sorry that you became the grass guys." You know, he was in a Rex, and I had even Giuliano's opened by then, and like,
all right.
And it's when first called him, and like we chatted, that was the story that he got that he'll never get along with me.
But did you like him first? You know, it's like
sure.
Love at first sight type of thing?
No, it was one of those. He's just a cantankerous kind of individual. And like, so am I, actually. And like, there was no issues.
But, you know, you guys have now worked together. You have done many dinners together.
Yeah, we've been doing this for like, over 20 years right now in this community. So it is one of those things that, we get along just fine and, in our own quirky little way.
Well, and why is that?
I don't know. You know, it's because, it becomes where, like I was telling you, I says, I'm the honestest, the most honest friend he's got over there, you know, in that sense where, you know, I tell him what's on my mind. He tells me what on his mind. And it's like, sometimes, it's never resolved, but we got it out, and I hear it, you hear it, and, you know, we still can be friends, you know?
Well, and you guys got the Cooks and Chefs of Montana going, didn't you?
Well, it's, he came in a little bit later. It's the Cooks and the Chefs and Cooks of Montana started back in 82, I believe.
Okay.
And, and then he came into town in the 90s. So, like, the chefs and cooks were already going over there.
And then he joined up with you guys.
Yeah, he joined us with us guys and, like, and moved along to the point we're at right now.
And you two are the oldest members now.
Well, it's because of our age. No more than that, you know. It's because of our age.
Well, age happens.
You know, age does happen. It's like, right now, become like the older guys over here and, the grandpa of the whole, the culinary industry over here kind of thing. It's like we're actually both having problems, in that sense of actually accepting the role of, like, the grandpa guy.
Well, you guys are the guys with wisdom.
You know, well, you can call it whatever you want, but we've been in it we've been in the battles for a long time, in that sense.
Well, and what's great about you guys is you've always been in the trenches. You did all the muscle work. You didn't just show up and look pretty and had other people do the work.
Well, I'm not a pretty guy, and not as Dave.
Yes, you are.
Like, that was out of the question, Well, yeah. We had a blue-collar kind of mentality in that sense, where we run our kitchens. Just hunker down and get her done. And, so throughout his career, that's all he's done. I mean, you see, he's just a kitchen rat, and, he just want to be in a kitchen over there. And, even at this time, he's still, he's still looking around, let's put it that way.
Right. You believe that he's not hanging his chef's hat yet.
Well, that's Dave. I mean, he's tried to numerous times.
Yeah, it's in your blood. So you two have done these benefit dinners, like for the MSUB Billings Wine and Food Festival. Tell me about some of those. How do those dinners come together?
Well, it's over a glass of wine, a bottle of beer, and we sit down and produce a menu and just work it through over there. We get the count of how many people, and so we put a nice little 5-6-course meal together.
A year ago, the two chefs prepared a multi-course meal for a fundraising dinner that was a gastronomic feast. Appetizers included escargot and croûte, goose liver pâté, and baby octopus. A non-traditional Caesar salad followed with a chilled cantaloupe soup. Lemon sorbet cleansed the diner's palate for a sous vide filet of beef topped with foie gras. Then a flourless cake with crème anglaise and raspberry sauce completed the meal. It was obvious the duo formed a fabulous team.
There's times where I'll yield to him, there's times he'll yield to me, and that's a team effort in that sense where, we'll go his style of food or we'll go my style of food, and we put it all together at the end over there where it's enjoyable. And it's bottom line, that's what it is. We just want to make the people happy,
Right, right. Well, your style of food, I would say, it's all over the world, international, but mostly Asian, and he tends to be a little bit more of the beef expert.
We always somehow do the beef thing for the entree because, he is the beef expert, and he flows in that direction. And, like I said, it's like for myself, sure, I'd like to do something different, but it's like, hey, it's both our shows in that sense, and so we're gonna feature what his strengths, we're gonna feature my strengths, and put the menu together in that sense,
Well, I can tell he's a great friend because I talked to him yesterday, and then he was just going straight to be with you. You guys sent me that great picture that your son-in-law had, texted me. Tell me about that friendship.
Well, this goes way back, and that picture that that was texted to you was one of those pictures you wouldn't see of David. Well, he's the ultimate professional kind of guy, and myself, I can be the professional if I wanted to, But it's so it was one of those where I got him to
be a little more lighthearted. It was in your kitchen?
No, this was at one of our events. Someone's house.
Okay.
And it was some.
You guys were dressed in your whites.
Yeah, it was some downtime, and like
you were
know,
in the kitchen.
Yeah, so we're in the kitchen, and so I said, "Hey, come on, get it up there. Let's arm wrestle." And you know, just yesterday, I says, "Yeah, we're gonna text that to Stella." I told him, and he says, "Hey, who won?" I said, "I can't remember." And I really seriously can't. I don't know if I beat him or he beat me up, but it was just a candid shot of us arm wrestling over there at somebody's house.
Have you guys ever had anything that didn't quite work out, any disasters when you have been together but maybe have been remedied?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's a part of the game. It happens.
You have to be flexible.
Well, we got to work it through.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there was the overcooked short rib incident that he felt bad about, and you know, somehow we put it together, and you know, the meal was very, very, very presentable, and it was a nice meal that we put out actually.
Right,
but
right.
You know, but we started out with, oh my gosh, what do we do now?
Well, it's like the apple pie that falls apart; it becomes cobbler type of thing.
Yeah, you know, and so you know, we made it a decent meal of a mistake.
So what do you think will be missed with David leaving if he does hang his chef's hat up?
You know, the David thing is like, you know, he was a big part of the community as far as the culinary world was concerned. And, you know, he's working really hard with the Wine Fest right now.
Yes, and, he is. Yeah, he's on the steering committee.
You know, yes, he's focusing on that, you know, and... You know, my suggestion to him last year before Christmas, I says, hey, you know, you got to hang it up pretty soon there, big guy. And like, you know, working out the way it did, it's sort of a blessing. But talking to him now, he's not ready. You know,
well,
he's not ready to like totally hang it up.
It's harder to have the decision made for you, you know, and with the sudden closing of the Rex, it forced him to retire sooner than we thought he would.
Well, you know, I get the utmost respect for that, man. I mean, it's like, you know, I try to get him to, you know, just relax a bit. See, that's our biggest goal right now, that we want to get him to the river.
To go fly fishing, or?
Just get him to the river, you know. Sit down and drink a beer. I don't care. Just get up to the river over there and, like, you know, just sit down and watch the river go, you know, and enjoy the beauty of Montana itself. And, like, you know, he says, Dave, you don't even have to bait your pole. I mean, like, just stand over there with a fishing pole. That'd be great, man, you know, just on the river. And that's been sort of our goal for the past few years here.
I have this great vision of the two of you sitting by the bank of the river with fishing poles.
See, I'd love that. And, like, I've been trying to get him to do that for, like, years. And, like, you know, he's always like, no, I'm not that guy. It's like, so our next step, we might actually trick him, you know.
Okay.
Tell him that there's some event going on and, like, just not make it to the event.
Well, Chef Carl, I wish you the best of luck in trying to get Chef David to the river. And I thank you for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. Maybe we'll get you to the river with us. You know,
okay.
Stella,
okay? I would love that.
All right. We'll do that.
At the Chef and Cooks of Montana dinner this year, Chef Mapplethorpe bequeathed his knife set to his longtime sous chef, Tyler Ellis. Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, is produced with the assistance of Jackie Amanaka. Music is by Parker Brown. For more information about this show, go to ypradio.org. I'm Stella Fong.